Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. It is a TD Thursday. We will talk plenty of Titans today, as they are now 1-11, taking on the Cleveland Browns coming up on Sunday. TD, how's it going?
Let me turn the mic on. Life is good, man. Everything is great, man. Start of a really good week. I got to see my granddaughter.
There you go.
Her second birthday, little Coda. Shout out, Coda. It's been a great week so far. Can't complain,
get
man.
To travel for the first time in like a month The Titans having four straight home games.
Yeah, I got packed the
right
coat.
It's,
you know,
third. I saw a high of 32 on Sunday for that one.
Yeah. And it's crazy. So on Sunday's game, so I always go down before the game and I do a little video and put the Kanye hello, good morning to it. So I was down there doing that. And his voice is like, hey, man, you want to run these with me? It was Mike McCoy. He wanted me to run the steps with them. So he does that before every game. But he invited me on Monday's presser. He told me he wanted me to run the steps with him in Cleveland. And I said, I hit him with the Magic Johnson. You know, when he makes the side face and you're like, I ain't going to be there. I'm not doing that. He could keep it.
Yeah, if it's going to be 30 degrees, I wouldn't want to run stairs if it was, you know, sunny and 75. I don't think I want to do it in 32 degrees.
I'm not going to have time to go back to the hotel and shower and come back fresh.
That's a good point. For Mike McCoy, he can make that happen. For you, it's like, you want to have the fit going, you can't be running stairs in the suit.
Won't do it.
Should be a fun show today. I did want to mention, and you said it when you came into the studio, shout out Mikayla Blakes.
Yes.
1,000 points in her career in just 42 games. She is one of 10 NCAA players to reach 1,000 points in 42 games or less. So that shows you how historic it's been. She got it right on the dot last night. She scored 28 points. That's what she needed to get to 1,000. And Vandy gets the win over Virginia. Vandy men beat SMU. Both basketball teams over on West End undefeated.
Yeah, that's what's up, man. And it's funny because when you say she had 28 points, I'm like, she didn't really get off like she normally did. That's how good Mikayla Blakes is. Mikayla, if you're listening, you got a big-time fan in me. We need you on Next Man Up, the TD Thursday edition. So I know Jake is going to make it happen.
You know, I will try and make that happen for next week, actually.
I won't fan. Well, I'll try not to fan out. But, yeah.
I will try and make that happen for next week. I've been meaning to get some Vandy guests on. So maybe we can make that work because we don't play again until December 15th. So got a little bit of time off here for exams. So.
Hey, Mikayla, keep shooting. Keep shooting and keep scooping.
Averaging 26 points per game so
far
this year.
She's bad, man.
Unbelievable.
She's the truth.
Yeah. Yesterday, Vandy, struggled a little bit early on. You need a bucket. You look for number one. And she came through a couple of times. So, Vandy women's basketball, Vandy men's basketball, both 9-0 to start the season. Big wins in the ACC-SEC Challenge last night. The men's side, I believe, wrapped up the SEC with a comeback win, 9-7. The women's side, I believe the SEC took 7 out of 8 last night, so I believe it should be a sweep for the Southeastern Conference on the men's and women's side. TD, on Sunday, massive step back for the Titans, for Cam Ward, and it was disappointing after the game against Seattle where the Titans' offense looked at least somewhat competent late in the game. They were moving the football. They put up 24 points. And, you know, you lose the game, but you left feeling like there was a little bit of confidence gained from that one. And then you come out. Yeah, you get the 70-yard drive to start off the game. And you get 118 total yards of offense after that. It was just not fun to watch. It was not a good offensive performance. You put up 3 points, and you start to wonder, Is it really going to get much better from here, especially with Myles Garrett lining up on the other side on Sunday?
Hey, listen, last week was one of the times where you better not say it can't get any worse. Because you're watching Josh Hines Allen, man. And, well, I tell you what, man, if I need to hire security and people to escort folks out of my function, Josh Hines Allen is the one, because that's what he was doing to those guys, man. It was bad, that bull rush. And it's only going to get worse, like you said, with Myles Garrett. But when you look at that game, you talked about it, the 70 yards, 10 plays, 70 yards.
Right.
Look, here's the thing that's so crazy. Like, we're pointing to that drive, and we're like, hey, man, that was a bright spot. It still ended in 3 points.
Yep.
The Titans are still, Parker, the only team in the league that hasn't scored a touchdown on the opening drive.
Yeah.
Hey, I did see – I saw that stat on the broadcast.
Yeah.
It's, so sad.
It's terrible.
They have
right?
they have it up there every time the Titans get the ball to start the game, and it's like, hey, can they finally do it?
Yeah. And my thing is this, and it's, I talked to Corey Levin after – because I had to go up to him and tell him, hey, man, like – you were blocking your behinds off, man. Shout out.
Yeah, Corey props. Levin, he was opening some holes on that opening drive.
Opening drive. And he was like, yeah, I mean, you know, we just kind of got away with it. And that's the thing. I don't understand. Okay, you have the drive. You get the field goal. They drive. They score a touchdown. Chim fumbles. They, you know, Kevin Winston Jr. gets a little twisted up, you know, on a combo.
Yeah.
It's 15-3. It's still early in the game. But you know the problem was, and on Run TMC, Chris Anders and I, we got into this, and Chris made a great point. This team is so accustomed to getting behind the chains, and a lot of it isn't – look, they can't run the ball well, just period. But what also contributes to that is the fact that you're seeing so many first and 15s, second and 14s, and it's like, okay, that run inside of the play sheet,
put it away.
We got to tuck that away
yep.
and work on other stuff. And it's just a collaboration of problems.
Yeah, I think that Chim fumble really took the Titans out of what they wanted to do. Because, you know, yeah, it's 7-3 after the Jaguars go down and score. But it's still an early one-score game. You can still run the football. But I think after you fumble, they go down, they score again. It's 15-3. It's like, all right, now we got to start trying to make up for lost time. And they went away from the run game, which... You know, Tony Pollard has clearly lost a step, and he has not been very good this season. Part of that is the offensive line's performance, too. But he was looking good to start the game on Sunday. I mean, he was bursting through the hole. He was picking up 6-7 yards per run, and they went away from it, and the Titans really just never got anything going offensively.
I still think they could have run the ball if they wanted to. But look. They still could have run the ball when it was 15-3, right? But here's what happened. When you look at the series, it's 1st and 10. Cam to Ironman are 5 yards. 2nd and 5. What happens? Sacked. Austin Johnson. Remember that guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was one of 3 second-round picks in 2016.
Right.
Derrick Henry. And?
Who was the other one?
One of the biggest busts the Titans have had.
Oh, yeah. Kevin Dodd.
Kevin Dodd.
Yeah, that's right. So 2nd and 2. Our 2nd and 5, sack, loss of 2 yards. 3rd and 5, it's still a manageable situation, right?
Yeah.
Sack, loss of 10 yards, yeah. Got a punt, right? And so you look at the next series. Okay, 1st and 10, they did run the ball. Tony Pollard, 3 yards. 2nd and 7, 4-yard pass to Van Jefferson. 3rd and 3, incomplete, punt. So it's like they could have run the ball on 3rd and 3. They got 3 yards on that, right? So then you go back to the next one. Tony Pollard runs to the left, 1 yard gain. Cam, short pass, 6 yards. It's 3rd and 3. Guess what you could have done?
Run the ball.
But what happened? False start. 3rd and 8. Now you got a pass. Punt. So it's just like if you could figure out a way to lose the game, it's – you just follow their pattern.
I know.
They've shown the way.
It is funny because I will adamantly say the Titans are not tanking, right? The coaching staff, the players, they are not trying to lose the games.
Right.
But sometimes the things that they do make you think otherwise because it's just like, man, if you're trying to lose the game, that's exactly what you would do.
It's a lot of head scratching when you watch this star team, man. Thank God I'm not a fan.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Hair Metal Henry says, I'm selling new Titans t-shirts. On the front, it says, it can't get any worse. On the back, it says, hold my beer. Pretty good. I think you might make some money there. 8566 with an interesting stat here. He says, apparently, and this is according to someone on Reddit, the Titans are the first team in NFL history to score points in a game, so not get shut out, and still have more personal fouls than points. They had 4 on Sunday. Brutal.
Mm-mm-mm.
It was not a fun one on Sunday. Hopefully this week, I mean, again, Hair Metal Henry, it can't get any worse, can it?
Oh, my
I guess we'll see.
You know, while we're on that personal foul side of things, these officials, you got to get it together, man. So you got a punter.
Yeah.
going to John Chestnut. That was one of my fellow receivers in college. Julius Chestnut. You got a punter going to Julius Chestnut telling him you're going to kill him, right? Like, okay, granted, you may not have heard what the punter said, but you for sure saw number 9 walking up to number 36. You know that he's not walking up there to figure out, you know, his Christmas list. He's walking up there because he wants a confrontation. So you have the initiator there, right? Now you got 46, the long snapper, coming in. And, you know, he jumps and he grabs Chestnut and throws him to the ground. Mike Brown doing what you're supposed to do.
Defends his teammate.
It's not Mike Brown's fault that the long snapper is, you know, a chump, right? Because Mike Brown put him on the ground, grabbed his face mask, and told him, like, hey, man, we're not doing that today. And Mike Brown got ejected.
He got thrown out of the game.
The long snapper didn't. And the punter didn't, even though he was the initiator and the long snapper was the first physical. Well, you got to get it together and sort this thing out correctly.
Logan Cook, the NFL has said, should have been called for a trip on that Jim DK return, too.
And if he doesn't trip him, guess what happened?
House call. Number 3 of the month. After going 13 years without one, Chim DK almost took a third back in 1 month. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you want to text or call, our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It is a TD Thursday. Coming up next, the Titans locker room had some comments after the game, specifically about Mike McCoy and the job he's doing as an interim head coach. We'll talk about it next. About Cam Ward's comments on the fourth down, Jeffrey Simmons about what he wants to see in the new head coach, and much more. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. That was Jeffrey Simmons after Sunday's game talking about what the Titans need in a new head coach at the end of the year. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. And, you know, felt like a little bit of a, do you still use the word subtweet of Mike McCoy there, of that, man, maybe he's not putting the culture and the leadership forward that needs to be as a head coach.
I get the feeling more that he's talking about just how it's been the last couple years. But real quick, I want to shout Jeffrey Simmons out because, you know, his foundation gave him a reason. I've gotten to see multiple events that, you know, he's held for the community. He's a very heavy contributor to making Nashville a better place. So, you know, I salute Jeffrey Simmons. He's actually now the 3-time nominee for the Titans for the Walter Payton Man of the Year award. And he had a jelly roll came to practice and surprised him with the announcement the other day. So I thought that was really cool. And only one other Titans player has been a 3-time nominee, and that's Kevin Carter.
Wow.
So, yeah. Shout out Jeffrey
Simmons.
Yeah,
congratulations to Jeffrey Simmons. Maybe he can win it this year.
Hopefully. That would be really dope.
Last year, was it Eric Armstead who won it for the Jaguars? So we'll find that out at NFL Honors coming up in a couple of months here before the Super Bowl. But great stuff from Jeffrey Simmons, 3-time Walter Payton Man of the Year nominee. And those comments after the game, I mean, he's not saying anything that we don't already know. That the next head coach of this team has to be a leader. They have to be able to come in and set a winning culture for this team, because right now they don't have that, obviously. They've won 10 games in 3 calendar years. They do not have a winning culture. But Cam Ward also said after the game, you know, the first drive we were talking about, it ended in 3 points. 4th and 3, Mike McCoy decided to send the field goal unit out. Said if it was 4th and 2, they would have gone for it.
A yard? Come on, man. What are we doing here,
I've said it all week, TD. I'm like, you're not running the ball on 4th and 2. Like, you're probably not. You're not doing a quarterback sneak or something. So does the play that you had ready for 4th and 2 not work on 4th and 3? Like, are you running a 2-yard route over the middle? I don't understand.
Man, listen, there's no figuring it out.
I don't know. And Corey Curtis yesterday was very adamant that you want to take the points when you can. And
get out of here.
It wasn't the decision as much as it was the explanation for the decision that bothered me. Of, if it was 4th and 2, we would have gone for it. I'm like, brother, you're 1-10. It's 4th and 3. Your team actually has some offensive rhythm. You're running the ball well. Like, 4th and 2 versus 4th and 3 shouldn't be a big difference.
Both decisions bothered me. Both the decision and the statement bothered me. Look, yeah, okay, you want to take the – no, you got a chance to score a touchdown. Do something you haven't done. Hey, Jake, it's week 13, man. It's week 13. You had 13 drives, and none of them resulted in a touchdown.
Yeah,
what's 32 times 13? I don't know.
Has anybody ever gone a full season without scoring an opening drive touchdown?
I don't know. I don't know if they did, but, I mean, there's 32 other teams that have gone 13 drives, and out of all those 32 teams, or 31 other teams, out of all those 32 teams, you're the one that has –
Yeah, it's like, have you seen those graphics on Twitter where it's like, have you scored an opening drive touchdown? And it's a circle of all the 31 logos.
Yeah.
Of course, it's December. No.
And the Titans over there are like.
Yeah, the decision, fine. It's early in the game. Mm-mm. You take your points. I would have gone for it.
Good.
But again, it's just the explanation of, hey, 4th and 2 versus 4th and 3, it should not matter. Like, If you have a play that works for 4th and 2 but doesn't work for 4th and 3, you should probably throw that play out of the playbook.
Here's the thing. Yeah, exactly. Here's the thing, right? If you look at this team, offense versus defense, well, defense is clearly the strong point, right? I think special teams is the strongest.
Yes.
But stronger is defense.
Yeah.
Right? It's 4th and 3 at your opponent's 10-yard line. If you kick the field goal, the defense is coming up the field. Like, all right, we won. They drove down the field, and we held them to a field goal.
That's
won.
That's a 4-point stop right there.
You see what I'm saying? But if you go for it, you get the touchdown. And okay, oh yeah, you don't get it. But defense just comes on the field, and you know what I mean. But if you go for it and you score, or you get the first down and then you score, like it's a different. Statement that's said. You don't make a statement by driving 70 yards and settling for a field goal.
Yeah.
You don't make a statement. You got to dictate the flow of it, because that's the thing. The game didn't flow. Dictate the flow of the game. You dictate the flow of the game by saying, hey, look, man, and even if you got to call a timeout, whatever, call a timeout, get them back together. Hey, look, fellas, this is it right here. We haven't done it all year. We need these 3 yards to be able to score on this opening drive. Go get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and the more egregious mistake on Sunday was, you mentioned calling a timeout, Mike McCoy not calling a timeout before the delay of game on 3rd and 3 that ended up setting up 3rd and 8. Titans get 7 yards and then don't get it on 4th and 1. Mike McCoy, you are the head coach. In that situation on 3rd and 3, I know Bones Fossil came up and started talking to Mike McCoy during that the setup for that play, but you've got to be looking at the play clock, because the last thing you can have there is a delay of game to knock you out of 3rd and 3 into 3rd and 8, and it just can't happen. It cannot happen. Ended up costing you possible points there, and yeah, does it change the outcome of the game? No, but you got to give your team the best chance possible. Cam Ward's got to be better, too. Like, that's on him that the delay of game happened, too. But as the head coach, 3rd and 3, you're looking there saying, hey, we got 3 timeouts late in the first half. Got to get a timeout off here if we get low in the play clock.
Got to get. Like, yeah. It's just poor management. And the thing is, so if that was Brian Callahan, like, he would be getting thrown on the grill. So why not give an experienced head coach? You know, McCoy need to be thrown on the grill, too, for that.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's just – this whole situation is just bad.
Right. At this point, we're just trying to get across the finish line.
Right. It's you know what it feels like? Remember the guy that ran – the runner, and he was close to the finish line, and he fell?
Yeah.
And then his dad came and got him and helped him across. That's what this season feels like,
yes.
Man. Somebody's that's what they're going through right now.
Somebody's got to pick up this Titans team, the Titans fan base, and just get him across the finish line. But Cam Ward had his comments after the game about the 4th and 3 decision to not go for it and said, we need to be going for it. What were your thoughts on that of Cam Ward? I mean, he's not going to hold any punches. Like we've known that with Cam Ward, the we ask comments from early on in the season.
Top 5 receiver group comments.
Right.
He's going to say his biggest piece.
He's not pulling any punches, but to do it in the public eye and basically second-guess your head coach, what were your thoughts on that?
I don't have a problem with it. I don't think he necessarily – I'm not so sure that he necessarily second-guessed his head coach. I think he just was saying what he would have done. You know, he didn't say it was the wrong decision. He said he would have gone. And then I think Nick Holtz, he has some comments that really made sense to me because I asked him, like, hey, man, you take it personally that he said that, you know? And he's like, well, any great player is going to want the ball in their hands.
That's
it's just how it is. Like, yeah. You want the – there are some people who are in that situation and like, let me just kind of – but then the killers, they're the ones like, hey, put the light on me.
Yeah.
I'm about to show you how we do this. You know, and I think that's the way that Cam Ward is looking at this thing. So, I mean, yes and no. It may not have been the most tasteful thing to say, but I think it was – appropriate. And this is the problem with a lot of these things is that, you know, you get a guy, he speaks his mind, you don't necessarily agree with what he says, so you push back on it. But then if he comes out and says, oh wow, at the end of the day it's the coach's decision, and then you're like, man, stop giving me that coach talk.
Yeah.
So you're damned if you do,
right.
Damned if you don't.
It's a double-edged sword.
Yeah.
And you know, I doubt that Mike McCoy had any problem with it, but It's not the first time that Cam Ward has been seen second guessing his coach on decisions not to go for it. He was caught on camera on one of these broadcasts. Come on, Mike, what are we doing? We need to go for it here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to text or call. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. DVD with Willie Donick, Derek Mason, and Adam Vingan will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circus Sportsbook Kentucky in the Mint Gaming Hall this Monday prior to the Monday Night Football game. This week's matchup is the Eagles against the Chargers. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly with you. On the other side, want to talk J.C. Latham a little bit. Latham had another tough day, a couple of lowlights in that game against Josh Hines-Allen. We'll talk about the second-year right tackle after this. On Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. That was J.C. Latham talking about the matchup with Myles Garrett. Got a little Cam Ward in there, too.
Yeah, but somehow looped together.
Yeah, but J.C. Latham talking about that matchup with Myles Garrett, who is 3.5 sacks away from tying the single-season sack record with Michael Strahan and T.J. Watt. Think he might be able to do it on Sunday. It might be possible.
At least four.
J.C. Latham coming off another tough day. And, again, the low lights are the ones that stand out. You look at those couple of plays where, you know, Josh Hines-Allen bull rushes him back into Cam Ward's lap and Cam has to get out of the pocket. The play where J.C. kind of whiffed on an inside move from Josh Allen. He tackled Tajay Spears for a 4-yard loss. There's been a lot of lowlights for J.C. Latham this year. And for the Titans, you really can't start over at tackle, right? Like, you've invested so much in that position. Obviously, Dan Moore is more of a placeholder for them to find a long-term left tackle of the future. But you drafted J.C. Latham 7th overall. You expected him to be a tackle for 10 years for your team, and right now he does not look like that type of player.
No, not at all. And the thing is, J.C. has acknowledged it. He said, hey, you know, they drafted me to, you know, go against guys like Ward Allen, guys like Garrett, and hold my own. Yeah, they did it. But you're not doing it. And, you know, I wonder how much of a mental thing this is for J.C. Latham. Because he's a talented player. He works hard. He does all the things he needs. I just wonder how much this is mental for him. And hopefully, you know, he could get it together and turn things around. I wonder also, okay, do you bump him inside to guard?
That's been the discussion, right?
Yeah.
Of would he be a better guard? But There's got to be some pride involved with that. And I know Rand Carthon was the one who made those picks, so he's not around. But the fact that you spent two top 11 picks on guards, that is a heavy investment in your guard play, and you're left with two tackles who definitely aren't the long-term solutions for this team.
Yeah, and I think that's an issue, right? Because you look at most of the good teams, they have bookends, you know. But here's the thing when you're going against somebody like Myles Garrett. You saw what he did to Trent Williams?
Right. It doesn't really matter who you are.
Yeah. So sometimes, because we talking about Hall of Famer against Hall of Famer. Freak against freak. Let me tell you, I shook Trent Williams' hand one time. We did a camp in D.C. My friend Bobby McCray and I, we did a camp, and Trent Williams was there. I shook his hand. That dude's hands, like, you know, I had that slapping competition?
Yeah.
He'll win it.
The power slap
yeah,
or whatever.
He'll win it. But, I mean, to that point, though, you got a guy that's as good as Trent Williams and Myles Garrett can do something like what he did and make even him look bad.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you do want to make sure that you have bookend tackles, but sometimes it just doesn't matter, and this is one of those weeks. But I think last week it could have mattered, right? And one of the things that was always said about J.C. Latham was how well he anchors. Did you see that bull rush that Josh Allen put on
him? Yeah, he put him 6 yards back into the pocket.
And Cam had to flee the pocket.
Right.
You know, and throw an incomplete pass. But then also with Latham, and I love the fact that he admitted it yesterday, right? Because PK asked him about finishing plays. Because there are times where, like, he might get beat, and he's just like from here like this and stops. Nah, man. Go back and help your quarterback finish it. And he admitted that that's something that he needs to work on.
Yeah, there was a screenshot that was put out there of the play Cam Ward fumbled on where J.C. Latham is kind of just standing there with his hands down at his side, and his man is the one who goes out and hits Cam Ward, knocks the ball loose. You know, part of that's on Cam Ward, obviously. Cam Ward ran into pressure and wasn't protecting the football, but J.C. Latham finishes, maybe there's a running lane for Cam Ward up the middle,
exactly.
And he's able to make a play. It just hasn't been good enough for J.C. Latham, and I think you're right. I think it is a mental thing. You've said it all the time that this guy went to IMG Academy in Alabama. He had not lost very much before he came here, and now he's lost 25 games in 29 tries. I mean, that's got to be tough on anybody, right? Like you win all the time. You were at Alabama. I don't know how many years you have to go back to find 25 losses for Alabama, but it's a long way back. And that's got to have a mental issue. The injury early on, I'm sure, was tough for him to deal with. You work hard all offseason long, and you get halfway through your first game, and you have to miss a month. I'm sure there's mental stuff with it, but he's got to turn it around fast. Year three, I don't think they're going to push him into guard heading into next year. He's going to be the right tackle heading into 2026, but that is the year for him to, you know, show up or you're out of here. I mean, they're not going to give him much longer than that to prove that he can be the guy. But this offseason, heading into year three for him, that is going to be the turning point to see if J.C. Latham can be worthy of the pick the Titans spent on him.
Yeah. So I think, you know, that's something that you have to keep in perspective as you watch how things continue to develop for him. He's a first-round pick, so he's always going to get that little bit of extra cushion.
Right.
But at some point, you got to live up to the status.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we talk about with Cam Ward. It's like we get all the people saying, oh, why give him such a long leash? You didn't give it to Levis. Well, Levis was a second-round pick. Cam Ward, first overall pick. He's going to get a much longer leash than any other quarterback that you could bring in because you spent the first overall pick on him.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing with J.C. Latham. Like, if Dan Moore was horrible this year, and he's been okay, he's been an okay left tackle, if he was awful, they would have figured a way to move on from him because you didn't spend a high draft pick to go get him. Yeah, you paid him some money. You might have to eat some dead cap. But they can do that and not feel like they're giving up on a player that can be a key piece for them. J.C. Latham is going to get an opportunity to be one of your tackles for a long time. I don't think he's done enough to prove that he's not the guy this year, but he has a long way to go to prove that he is the guy.
The step that he was expected to take has not happened.
No. And you could say the same thing about Tavondre Sweat, too. I mean, those are the two guys you took in the top 35 last year, and you wanted to build through the trenches. You got two monster guys who you thought could be staples of your team. And both of them, again, I don't think Sweat has been horrible this year, but he hasn't turned into a game wrecker, and we're not seeing Simmons and Sweat collapse the pocket from the interior as much as they need to be.
And, you know, some of that is due to, because if you look at a lot of third downs, they're swapping them out. Because Jahad Ward has emerged as
right.
a legit player. You know,
they need to keep him.
They absolutely need. And low-key, he's one of those glue guys in the locker room, too.
Which is crazy, considering they signed him off the street. Like, the first week of training camp?
Yeah. He's a good player, man. And so with his emergence as an interior pass rusher on the pass rushing downs, you're kind of seeing Sweat get ushered out, and he's going in, bumping inside from you know, lining up as like a five tech. Now, I will say this, though, because you know I'm always going to go half full. The one thing that I do like about Sweat is the effort. And Denard Wilson pointed it out. And when he pointed it out, I was like, yes, I'm glad you mentioned that. Because there was a screen – early in that drive against the Jaguars. And you saw 93 come from the other side and run it down.
Yeah.
The big man is going to go try to find the football. So you do have that. But, I mean, look, like that's something that if you're in the league, you better do it. You know what I mean? And I understand 366 pounds and everything, but you got to do that. It's a starting point, but he has to be more impactful because he looked at a high second round pick.
Right. Borderline, you know, first round pick,
yeah,
for Tavondre Sweat.
You need more out of him than what you've gotten. And I just wonder, like, when is going to click? You know, when is it going to happen? And you see Josh Hines Allen use the bull rush and you see it successful. Sweat has a vicious bull rush himself. He told me at the Senior Bowl, he said he doesn't use it all the time because it gets boring. Listen, man, I don't know about you, but it would never be boring to me being able to dominate another man against his will. So, T. Sweat, use it, man. Use it.
Boring is fine if it's successful. Like, you just go out there and use it if you can actually win with that bull rush move. 615-737-1025. A reminder, 10 a.m., your chance to talk to TD, so get your questions in for Teron. Again, can be Titans, can be life, you know, Mets free agency going on. You can get all those in at 615-737-1025. Our phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Looking for a good spot to watch NFL games this Sunday? Well, come by Twin Peaks in Cool Springs, home of the 29-degree beer, and join 102.5 The Game for the pregame show before the Titans take on the Browns. Pregame show is brought to you by Tennessee Brewworks and Circa Sportsbook Kentucky. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. This Sunday, the NFL game of the week is the Bengals and the Bills at noon on 102.5 The Game. The NFL game of the week is presented by Circa Sportsbook Kentucky and Masero in 12 South. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game.
Hey, Jake, we just had that conversation. We don't have to say the conversation that we had. We just had that conversation, and look what he's going to do to me.
Parker might have been listening.
Our mics were hot, and I didn't know.
I can just read TD's mind at this point.
There you go.
Yeah, he can,
that's,
man,
your quarterback.
Ooh, that's my quarterback.
Next man up, 102.5 The Game. A reminder, if you have questions for TD, get those in on our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. We will talk to TD coming up at 10. That is your two segments there. If you have questions, we'll get to those coming up at the top of the hour. But before we move on, we were talking about the trenches and somebody that maybe is being forgotten about because he's been injured for a while, Femi Oladejo.
Yeah.
Second-round pick, another guy that I think the Titans as an organization feel good about for the future as a project pass rusher. I believe I saw yesterday that he's back out there on a side field at the very least.
Yeah, he started some of the rehab stuff. Now, his window hasn't been open.
Right.
But he started some of the rehab stuff. And I talked to him last week, and he was like, you know, I feel good. I'm getting close, so that's a good thing.
Yeah.
He brings the energy that you need.
And it would be nice for him not to have his rookie season end with that injury. That was all the way back in the Raiders game, right?
Yeah.
So that was week six. To be able to come back and, you know, I'm not saying he's going to come back off the injured reserve and put up 4 sacks in 3 games to end the year. But just to get a little bit of momentum, get your feet back under you, and head into the offseason with some direction where it's not you're just getting healthy off your injury, that you got some more reps under you and you can head into year two with, you know, 7 or 8 games of experience instead of just the 6 and then not playing for the last 2.5 months of the year.
Yeah, it's one of those things where you want to kind of end on a good note, right? You know, feeling good and just roll that momentum. And that's the thing. This game of football is so much about momentum, and that's why I don't allow analytics to dictate everything about football, because it's so much about energy, momentum, and emotions, right? And one of the things that you find is guys, they like to build and stack. So you get something positive, you start there, and you just keep stacking and stacking and stacking, and then that's how you lead to something good. So it is very encouraging for Femi Oladejo to be back out there getting some work in. Now you want to get him back, and there's 5 games left, so obviously he's not going to play all 5, but if you could get 2 or 3 in there, now you're doing something.
Yeah, he won't play this week. I would even guess he probably won't play next week, but maybe when you come back for that home game against the Chiefs right before Christmas, maybe that's a spot that you can bring him back. You got back-to-back home games there, Chiefs and Saints, and just see if you can see some more flashes from the young pass rusher, who, again, he's only been playing on the edge for less than a year of actual football. I mean, he moved there midway through his final year at UCLA. He's played six games at the NFL level, so every rep is going to be important for Femi Oladejo if he can get back healthy. Looking at the other young rookie on that Titans defense, Kevin Winston, after a couple of good games for him after stepping into the starting lineup, not quite as great against the Jaguars on Sunday, but he did say he was playing a new position, correct? That's what he said after the game?
Yeah, he's playing a true he's doing what Marcus Harris was doing. You know, he's playing nickel. And look, some of these things that have happened, Denard Wilson wouldn't say that they were picking on him. I feel like that they were targeting him after watching the two things that happened on the explosives against the Seahawks, where it's like, okay, we want to put this rookie in a bind and make him make a decision. And I think he's going to make this decision so that opens up.
Yeah.
And that's basically what happened on that. We used to call it Miami, where you have a post, like an 8-cut and a 7-cut combined, the 8 from the outside guy, the 7 from the end. And it's like, okay, whatever you pick, we're going to go the opposite of.
Right. He got caught in between.
Yeah, caught in between, and boom, it's a touchdown. You know, and these things are going to happen. He just has to learn from it and understand his leverage. And as he said, understand the leverage. That was on the first touchdown on the slant. But then understand the spacing and where he needs to be as far as maintaining inside coverage as opposed to drifting to that corner route.
Yeah, and all of this is valuable experience for Kevin Winston. I mean, it's not going to be perfect, and you've seen the good things that Kevin Winston has done, especially in the run game. I mean, when he's been coming downhill in the run game, he has been making some plays.
He will come down and rock you. And he also, you know, tackle for loss, but you can also use him in the pass rush side of things.
Right.
You know, he's shown that.
Right. And the Titans, with Denard Wilson at the very least, he loves sending those guys off the edge, whether it's the safeties, whether it was Roger McCreary at times. So good to see Kevin Winston continuing to get reps and, you know, a little bump in the road for pretty much everybody on this Titans roster on Sunday against Jacksonville. We hope to see them take another step forward against Cleveland. We will talk more about that game later on in the show. Of course, the big matchup everybody's been waiting for, Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders. We will talk about that. But coming up next, your chance to talk to TD, 615-737-1025. You can text or call. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and we've already got some good ones on the text line. Did want to mention, before we go to break, we spent a lot of time talking about Vanderbilt this week. College Football Playoff Committee currently has them well on the outside of that top 12, and not an opportunity to show themselves off in front of the committee again. And yesterday, there was a very interesting quote from Clark Lee, basically saying he told his guys, have your bags packed in case we go find a place to play this weekend.
I love it.
That is one of my favorite quotes, of just basically, hey, if they don't want to put us in, let's go play somebody else and show that we deserve to be in.
What I say about setting the tone, that's how you set the tone.
Right.
Forget the flow of the college football committee.
Right.
You want to flow that way? All right. We're going to give you something to make you flow the other way. I love that, man. As a player, your coach saying that, like, you're like, man, this dude is about it just like I am.
It's,
you know,
so funny because you've got, like, Steve Sarkisian out there saying, oh, if you leave us out, we'll never schedule a tough non-conference game again.
Heck out of here.
Vandy's like, show us a time, show us a place, and we'll be there and put the ball down and go.
Janet Jackson said it best. Anytime, any place.
Well, the development on that is Pete Thamel tweeting this about an hour ago. Sources, number 14 Vanderbilt explored the possibility of playing an exempt 13th game this weekend as a way to give one final showcase for the college football playoff. There was interest from the team, the university officials, the athletic department, and the coaching staff, but ultimately the operational and legislative requirements, along with last-minute scheduling constraints, could not support the game. So they will not play, but it is funny, the message board geniuses who put out there, and it was like, Vanderbilt should play Miami and Hawaii as a 13th game. And Clark Lee was like, oh, no, that's not just a message board conspiracy theory. We'll do it if we can make it work.
Make it happen.
Sadly, it did not work out. Yeah. That would have been fun. 615-737-1025. It is now your chance to talk to TD. We've got questions on the text line. You can get yours in. You can text or call. Jake Lyman, Teron Davenport, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game.